All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. As always, I'm your host, Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and joining me once again, my good friend Bob Kudla from Trade Genius Academy for our monthly chat on the markets and the economy. Bob, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Zach? Getting ready for Christmas?
I am getting ready for Christmas. You know, I mean, we're in Florida. I don't think anybody's coming down, so it's going to be nice and quiet. But what about you? You guys got family coming out there?
Yeah, just local family. We're keeping it low-key, too. So it's going to be beautiful, actually. It's been really cold here, but I think it's going to be 75 or 80 degrees where I live on Christmas Day.
You know what's funny is that cold is supposed to come down to us on Christmas. It's supposed to be like 25, like the coldest it's ever been since I've been here. So we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. All right. So we've got a lot to discuss. You know, there is some real instability in the markets right now. I've seen a couple of kind of alarming articles coming out about things happening at Goldman Sachs. And what was the other one? JP Morgan had some bad stuff to say. Actually, I pulled something up from your podcast. Let me go to that for the audience right here. But yeah, that chart does not instill confidence in what's happening in U.S. markets. Explain to us what we're looking at here.
Yeah, so what that is I overlaid JP Morgan every quarter does what's called a collar, where they make a bet. This time they bet 44,000 option contracts that they put a put in there around the 3,300 area and change. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't see the exact number.
I think let me see, 2023, it's actually 3,852 or something like that.
Yeah. 3850 is where they sold calls to pay for these this put trade, and then they also sold puts underneath it. So they're looking to make money anywhere between the that high of the collar and the low of the collar. But every quarter they drove the price of shares down towards the bottom of that collar. And this year, because we've had a negative year, there's a lot of tax loss selling on the institutional side. There's a lot of markets happening. And plus, you know, people that have hedge funds, they don't want to show their losers to their customers when they do their, you know, when they send out their year end info about what positions they have. So they dump their losers. So we could get and I've been a little dramatic on our podcast. So, you know, that's a 25% move from Friday's close. Okay. But it's not out of the woods that we can get down to that middle level around that 3,300 for ES. You know, that's a good 10-12%. Not a problem in this market. There was another sheet on that podcast, and just what people referred to is that, you know, not only do we have a service, but we do a daily podcast, Zach, as you know. Mm-hmm. And you just go to the YouTube channel, look under Trade Genius, and you can see our daily. We just talk market stuff. And there's another chart on that same podcast that we talked about, what's called illiquidity. It doesn't take many contracts in the futures market to move price. And it's at the point where it was before, like in the beginning of the year, when we started that big sell-off in the March. So our view is that this market can be selling off between now and the next Fed meeting in February. But don't discount that we have instead of a Santa rally, we may have a Grinch crash going into the end of the year. So a lot of things aren't set up very well for the market, and people are getting very, very nervous, and the politics suck. We're going to have divided government. The geopolitical world sucks. You know, China doesn't know whether what's open or not. You know, Europe is in suicide mode right now. You know, Russia is going insane. And so we have a lot of things out there that don't engender a lot of confidence to take a lot of risk with your risk assets. And people made a lot of money over the last couple of years, so people are going to be pulling in their horns. So we've been advising caution, you know, saying, hey, look, we've done really well. You know, not trading is also a trade, you know. And also there's a rebalancing now between stocks and bonds. So the people are – a lot of pension funds have too many stock equity valuation as opposed to bond valuation, and they're going to have to buy bonds and sell stocks, which is also obviously bearish for the stock market.
Sure.
So I was trying to convey some of that and show people that this market isn't not – it's irrational, but it's not and it's confounding, but it's not unknowable. And it's because big boob and players like JP Morgan, they have a vested interest to drive this market down over the next 2 weeks. And usually JP Morgan gets what they want.
Sure, sure. So they're basically betting on us losing, essentially, at the end of the day. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks, looks like there's a good chance for a sell-off going into the end of the year. So now, can they Santa rally it? Sure, but, you know, people just got to be really, really careful. And we just use our algorithm, Zach. You know, if this thing's not happening, they're going to start to lift the market, our algorithm will tell us, and we'll take trades. But right now, we're pretty cautious.
So I also had a question about a perhaps emerging market. I know that you've spoken before about, relying on energy. I mean, obviously, everybody needs energy, oil, coal, even nuclear, whatever it might be. And an announcement was made by one of our own nuclear laboratories, Livermore Nuclear Laboratories, about the successful testing of nuclear fusion. Like, they were able to produce more energy than they actually put in. Is there any investment opportunities out there right now for people looking to maybe get in on the early end of this type of, energetic technology?
Yeah, the problem with fusion is that I think they're understanding the physics of it pretty well. Now they have to determine, it's the engineers now that have to get engaged. Can they produce enough energy at a cheap enough cost to make it worthwhile pursuing the technology? Now, I'm not saying it can or can't. That's just the stage that they're in. I say it's 20 to 30 years before we go, before there's potential with fusion. I think in the interim, I think nuclear is going to have to be where they're going to fill the gap, nuclear and natural gas. I think once people get out of this psychosis they're in about they can do things with renewable and they find out they can't, then I think you're going to see people are going to go back to nat gas and nuclear as the bridge with the hope they can get the fusion. I think they're getting closer and closer. It's just, it's exciting, but, you're talking 30 years, Zach, before we'll see any kind of fusion opportunities. And governments are going to run those fusion plants before they get to anywhere with the
right
people.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand that. Okay. How about in the crypto world? Did you happen to see, we've talked about Binance a couple of times and how you had thought that perhaps they were actually being run by the Chinese government, and I can understand why you'd think that. But Binance just made a $1 billion bid for all of the assets of Voyager, which means it sounds like the customers of Voyager are going to have all of their cash accounts unlocked. People are going to actually be able to get their money back out. Have you heard about this at all?
I haven't, but we've been following Binance. In fact, we're going to do a podcast on it this week. Their auditor has basically refused to attest that they have reserves.
Oh, no.
So I think we're probably... our thing was, if you have money in Binance, I would pull money out of Binance. And I don't know if he's just trying to look like he's strong or not. Our view on crypto is this: we have to separate crypto from the crypto exchanges, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening here is that these crypto exchanges were very opaque, and they created their own tokens to do things, and they just made it up. FTX made up their token and made up a valuation. Binance made up a token, made up a valuation, And now you're looking at, what's happening with Tether. Tether's supposed to be 100% back. You'll be able to get your money right away. Well, that's not really true. They have marketable securities. If everybody wanted their Tether tomorrow, well, you're not getting your Tether. You're not getting out. You're not getting your cash.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening here, and actually this is, I believe it's long-term good news, is that I think the American government and the American investment community, i.e. Wall Street, has been hungrily eyeing this space for a long time. They were late getting into this space, and now they're going to use regulatory environment and blowing up these offshore crypto exchanges to support what Fidelity and Charles Schwab and BlackRock want to do with support for the U.S. government. Not Tether. What's the other stable coin is going to be backed by? You're going to be able to put it on the Fed's balance sheet.
Oh, wow.
So you, I think USDC, right? So so you're going to be able to back that. So, you know, if they get a run on that coin, right, they can just go ahead and get all the cash they need from the Fed immediately, and they just pledge those coins to the Fed, and then they can work out whatever mix match they have in terms of their assets and liability. And that is huge. And I think what you're going to find is you're going to find Goldman, JP Morgan, Fidelity, Schwab, Ameritrade with Schwab, are all going to be in the crypto space, and they're going to be SIPC insured. And I think it's going to help what I call the tier one tokens. You're looking at probably, Bitcoin for sure, Ethereum for sure, and some other tokens that have actual real value, I think are going to be, are going to have their renaissance, because they know their customers are telling us, get us non-bank assets, in case something goes haywire with the currencies out here. There's a lot of rich people that want to have an off-ramp. And mm-hmm. I think we're seeing the beginning is that. So I'm excited about that. Binance, you're running a big risk. My theory on Binance in China was that I think Sam Friedman was trying to take him out with the help of Gary Gensler, and Binance just had leverage over these guys and took them out instead. And people don't know, it's opaque what they do over there, and China can be behind the scenes, but it just seemed like a very cute geopolitical connection to me.
Sure.
But I think Binance is going under too. So that's my view on it. I wouldn't touch any of these exchanges. Now, Schwab does it, sure. I have no problem keeping my Bitcoin on Schwab. It's as much as you want to keep your stocks on Schwab. All right. I know it might be heretical for people, but more people are like me than are wallet people, because I like to be able to move my money around.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust Schwab if they're backed by $500,000 in SIPC for my token, right? And or my coins. I think you're going to see that. And that's just going to be really good news for holding. Look, Bitcoin's been holding up just fine, mm-hmm. Care less. So well, that's my view on that. I'm not a big Binance fan.
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out. I hope that it works out for the people at Voyager. I'm just kind of PO'd that they didn't do it for Celsius. So, they're in the midst of their bankruptcy filing. I've got a claim with them, so we'll see what happens. But I don't have any confidence that I'm going to be seeing anything. Because recently, I just learned that the husband and wife team at the head of Celsius moved tens of millions of dollars out of their accounts in the days before they stopped everybody else from being able to trade, while they were all telling us to hold, telling people that everything was going to be fine. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But I mean, also, speaking of Sam Bankman-Fried, have you seen that he was arrested?
Yeah, I love it. And look, it was too hot for those guys to ignore it anymore. I'm not telling your listeners anything new about this. This was in a very elaborate money laundering and campaign finance scheme.
Yep.
I don't think they ever thought that this idiot was going to pick a fight with a guy that could take him down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And basically blew up the gold mine. And so, all that's going to get clawed back as soon as fraud. And they're suing him for fraud. They're going to indict him for fraud. And look, they're going to get these other people that lived in that love hut with him to turn state's evidence, because they don't want to go to jail.
I hear Carolyn, his girlfriend, who was running Alameda, she's already turned state's evidence.
You know what they say on that? This is game theory 101, guys. So he who panics first panics best.
Mm-hmm.
So she cut a deal probably within a nanosecond. I'll give you everything I want, total immunity. Okay.
Yep.
Her parents were smarter than Sam's parents.
Even though they had connections at the SEC.
Everywhere. So
that's
a den of thieves, that whole thing. But but the point is clawbacks galore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's what you can see in Celsius too. That money they moved, not safe.
Yeah.
They'll claw that thing down. I don't know where those people live. Are they U.S. people or are they?
Oh, they're Israelis. Else? They're Israelis.
So, unless they're in a non extradition treaties. They're in trouble. But yeah, so, but what's really interesting is there might be some new legal theories that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
All the celebrities that took money, they're trying to sue them too. So this is a new legal theory saying if they can succeed in getting that money back from them, that means anybody that does any kind of endorsement, they can be sued now. People don't like what was being done. So mm-hmm. I don't think at the end of the day they're going to get jammed on that. But that's kind of scary stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, you and I have to do like inordinate amount of homework, you know, to you know, before you like take on an endorsement, which mm-hmm. I think is probably over the top. It's just that people are so mad. 1 million creditors, Zach.
Yeah, yeah.
1 million creditors. This thing stinks to high heaven, and we don't even know where all these tendrils go. So, yes, that's what I'm watching with high interest. I want it all to be clawed back for next election. Have Democrats are going to have to raise $40 million more just to pay back the creditors, and then they're going to have to raise money for the election. So, mm-hmm. there's an interesting sheet of people, all the people that receive money, and 90% of those people are Democrats or left leaning organizations, and the ones that are Republican are rhino organizations.
Exactly. So, you're absolutely right. Most of those organizations are Democrats, and the ones that are Republicans are the rhinos. Obviously, Kevin McCarthy has had to come out very recently and admit that he received some money. We know that Mitch McConnell did as well. The only thing I care about is that people get as much money back as they possibly can. So if any of these candidates, if any of these organizations are trying to hold on to that cash, then that's a massive problem and something has to be done about it.
They won't have a choice. A special master will come in there, he'll claw back.
Okay. All right. Good to hear. All right. And then finally, I also wanted to talk to you about the situation with New York, because Mayor Adams is raising the alarm because apparently there's going to be a new wave of illegals coming up there. Right. This is the same kind of thing that they've been dealing with in Texas and Arizona for a very long time. And I just every time I see a Democrat complaining about the, I guess, just the stress on the system as a result of it. I mean, you just look back over the last 5 or 10 years and you say, well, geez, you know, finally it's getting to you.
Yeah. And Denver also, Denver just declared a state of a city of emergency because they're being overwhelmed with homeless illegal aliens too. So, I mean, look, wait till Title 42 goes away. This thing's going to become a tsunami.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. You know, this is one thing in our Constitution that's kind of messed up. There's no way to force the administration to follow the law. You know, there's no way that anybody can compel the federal government to obey the law. I mean, they literally are committing a coup d'etat against the Constitution by just obeying the laws they want to obey.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. In fact, that came up in the Supreme Court talking about the Texas thing where that question was asked of the solicitor for the Biden administration, just said, well, what if a state decides that they're not going to follow the precepts of the federal government, just like you're not? What, you know, what are you going to do? They have the power of the purse. He said, oh, you know, what? How long is that going to take to, you know, enact change? So it's a problem. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the House Republicans, you know, look, they're just going to have to defund it completely and force it out in the open. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have an open mind. I'm excited to see what comes in the next congressional session. But until that time, I'm not going to be putting any credence into anything at all. But I have seen some good stuff coming out from the Republicans that are going to be leading most of these committees and the types of things they're going to be investigating. But I think you're absolutely right. Defund everything that doesn't work and just watch the money roll in. I mean, think about how much cash we'll save if we're not putting a bunch of worthless dollars into programs and organizations and federal departments that don't do what they're supposed to be doing. You know, I mean, if they don't follow the law, then why the hell are they there?
Yeah. And look, I think it's really interesting with the Senate, you know, a cinema, you know, basically what independent and Manchin's going to follow. So they may not be able to control the committees like they have in the past, because now you have, you know, ostensibly three independents, but really Sinema and Manchin can control really the destiny of the Senate now.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. And so it's going to be really interesting to see. And I think, you know, if the House Republicans are smart, they would literally just set up special lawyers that go out there or judges that go out there and just like research the problem, like Hunter Laptop. Instead of them doing it, they just create a committee that does it and, you know, just let those guys run, you know, and that way they can't stop it. And those people have subpoena powers and the whole nine yards. They can just tie the Biden administration up in knots over the next 2 years and then they can keep their hands clean and just say, hey, you know, this is what we're going to fund and not fund. But like you, you know, until I see people going to jail or I see things getting defunded, I'll withhold judgment.
Same page, same page. All right, Bob. Well, thank you very much for being here with us today. Anything else you want to tell the audience before we go?
No, if you want to trade with us, go to TradeLegateGenius.com. We have specials running until Saturday, Christmas Eve, 65% off, 50% off anything that's non-bundled. So check us out. Check out our podcast, Trade Genius, on YouTube. Thanks, Zach.
All right, you're welcome. And we'll see you next time.